how alone I was feeling. And the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I found. Then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, and I'm amazed. Cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends could never be as close to me. And I'm not afraid to face problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed.
I'll just introduce Brother Will for a moment. For those of you who may not know him, this is Brother Daniel Andy's son, and Lord gave him this song recently. I believe it was anointed of the Lord for what the bride's going through right now, and asked him if he'd sing, and I was glad to hear that he wanted to sing this tonight. So
people say that our God's dead. He has no power or might. They deny that he's living. Think this faith is a lie. We can't help that they say this, for they do not understand. They wonder and reason. Say Jesus was just a man. But what about the truth? What about the light? What about the message?
Is it still alive? Just think upon His goodness that He's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. Many people are leaving God's voice in this day. They're leaning to reason and the world's filthy way. But we have a vision. There's no power can hold us back. Just stay faithful with Jesus, and He'll keep you on track. So what about the truth? What about the light? What about the message? Is it still alive? Just think upon His goodness that He's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. So this is still the truth. This is still the light. This is still the message. Oh yes, it is alive. Just think upon His goodness that He's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive. So just think upon His goodness that He's done in your life. It's not just some story. God's power is alive.
Amen. You believe that tonight? Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's just stand if you would. Amen. You feel His presence here tonight? Amen. Let's just sing this together. Oh, here we are. We're presence, Lord, we're lifting holy hands to You, and here we are, we're praising Jesus. Again tonight as Brother Ron comes. Oh, here we are. Lord, we're in Your presence. We're lifting
many dangers, toils, and snares. Amen. We have already come. Amen. Many treacherous roads are behind us. Probably got a couple in front of us, but we're real close. Amen. I would like to thank you for your incredible hospitality to us over the last couple of days, to myself and Sister Connie and our family, and we sure have enjoyed being with you. And I trust that something has been said to encourage you along the road a little bit, and we you know that you've got a sister church in Virginia that loves you, and Brother Joshua and his wife's been there, and they know what kind of a group we are. And we just love you with all of our hearts. And, you know, one of these days we'll sit down at that table thousands of miles long, and we're family. That's not going to be the Nathan Bryant Church, and that's not going to be the only group. But there's a bride around the world, and it's just not our four walls and no more. And your walls seem to be getting a little full, but amen. We may need to be looking for bigger walls for you, so amen. But we're certainly thrilled to be here, and we sure have had a wonderful time in fellowship, and even today we just felt the presence of the Lord, and God just has done some incredible things. And I look at the supernatural things that happens on a daily basis. If you can just watch for them, amen. God's among us, and we just so thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. You love Him. Amen. Maybe you have a need tonight. Tonight is the last service of this meeting, and Brother Tim Pruitt will be here in a few days, and I just warmed you up. That's what I told him I was going to do anyway. And so I just trust that you've been blessed. And maybe you have a need tonight on your heart. You'd just like to say, Lord, would you just come by my pew this evening and anoint Brother Ron's vocal cords to speak to me tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we love you tonight with all of our hearts. And Lord, tonight I definitely need you to come by my way and speak, Father. Lord, as we would ask you to forgive us of our sins and our mistakes and failures, we need you, Father. We can study and lay aside time to prepare. And Lord, I just ask you that you would minister to us. Lord, may you just do a supernatural work. And Lord, we just ask you to pass by this way and strengthen us and give us courage for the journey. Lord, watch over our lives. And just now I would ask you that you'd come to our pew. Just where we're at. Bring us a fresh and true revival tonight. And Lord, just come and make yourself known in this meeting. And the people at home are praying for the service tonight. Brothers have just sent me text even while in the office. I'm praying for you tonight. And Lord, so we know this body of believers for this meeting is being prayed for in many places. And Lord, I just ask you that you would anoint us in a special way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. You love Him?
Yes.
Amen. Would like to thank Brother Nathan for all the fellowship. And I would like to thank you for inviting us in this again. We sure are thrilled to see what God's doing here. And when I think of the quote of thousands of lived voices, and Brother Branham says, in Jeffersonville. That quote's alive in this place. And so I really am thrilled to see that from the bottom of my heart. Some of us has been around for a few decades now, and we believe this word with all of our heart. Amen. And so we're glad to see that there's a people here that raising the banner and say, we believe this with all of our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Could we echo that with an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you will turn with me to Joshua chapter 24 this afternoon. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24 and verse 1. I want to preface this as Joshua, this is his last sermon. I cannot put enough emphasis on some of the words that he's trying to tell his people. And so I want to just think on these things as we begin to look at them just for a little while. And just remember, these are his last words. And here's what I want to just say to you. When you're saying your last words, you very much mean it. You very much mean it. There's no play in it. There's no filler in it. You very much mean it. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of the Israel to Shechem. And he called the elders of Israel and their heads, and for their judges and for their officers, and presented themselves before the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor. They served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all of the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac and Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau the Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses and also an Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. Notice, this is God saying, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. This is not redundant. He's reminding us, I did all of this. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came under the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. I want to go to verse 17. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from among before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you and the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, strange gods which are among you, and incline your ear unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute of an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law and took a great stone and set it under an oak. And that was the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. And Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his own inheritance. I want you to notice the next words. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. You may be seated. Sometimes our attention gets divided in our lives. And there's a lot of things that will come along to try to divide our attention and to consume our time and consume our energies. And every one of us are guilty that we allow certain things to consume energies and to consume times and allow our priorities to begin to diminish in some ways. And this may be not the last service that you thought it would be, but I got a feeling it's going to be pretty good. But I just want to pick up Joshua and Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua is the leader that is God has picked. God picked him to be the leader after the death of Moses. I want you to know this wasn't hand-picked, this was God-picked. Notice how the scripture says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, I want you to understand this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all of this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you, as I said unto Moses. Are you with me now? And when the wilderness of the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. I want you to understand, it wasn't barren land, but it was a well-inhabited land. And they wasn't willing to give it up very easily. They were set in there, and they called it home. But God said, I'm going to give you that land. It's going to be your land. It's Canaan. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But here are these people that are living on this land. And in this land, they're very happy. They've got their vineyards. They've got all of their houses set up. But God said, I'm going to give it to you, but you got to go take it. Are you with me now? You've got to take your position. And you must remember, and just going some skipping here just a little bit, Joshua would tell those families by the names that they had and the tribal order that they would under. He would give them instructions. You must live in the north, or you must live in the west, or you must live in the south. And he noticed the characteristics, some of your bakers and some of your warriors, and he would lay them out, and he would be the one that would give them their possession. Are you with me now? And he would give them the possession, but they had to go take it. Amen. If you'll remember at Kadesh Barnea, they came to a place to where that they sent the spies over into that land. And 10 spies came back with a report. They had a report that the land is a good land. They had the report that everything seemed good there. But there be giants in that land. Are you with me? Let's just bring it to today. We're not looking for another end time leader. We're not looking for another man. All the one man scriptures has been fulfilled. Our prophet came and he delivered the message to us, but we must have a burden in our heart to see this word become the living reality. There's not another generation coming. We know the prophet said, we are the final voice to the final age. Paul had his day. Peter had his day. James and John had their day. But now it's your turn. I'm waiting on this to happen. I'm waiting on that to happen. I'm waiting on this to happen. You must take your possession. Joshua stood up before his people, and God had to speak to them. And God spoke to Joshua and said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance in the land. Notice this now. Which I swear unto their fathers to give them. This is a covenant not with a politician. This is a covenant not with Moses. This is a covenant with God. And when God gives you a promise, he will bankrupt heaven. He will bankrupt heaven to make sure that you get your land. Now notice the instructions. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded me. Turn thou not from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever that thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I love this. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written. Eat the book. Eat the book. Eat the book. Let the word digest in your life. Let it digest in your life. Are you with me just now? I spoke this last night. I want to tie it all the way back to the first night. If you'll remember the first night I talked about how the symphony comes together. Every person must play their own part. We live in Civil War country. And in Civil War country, and I know you do too, but we're Southerners there, so I'm going to take the Southern, and please don't shoot me before I leave the building here. But when they would line up, and they fought wars differently than what they do now. And the general would challenge them, telling them that, you know, today is a day of battle. Today is a day to which that you have left your farms and you've left your homes and you've left your communities and you're here representing the South or the North, whichever way that it would be. And today is going to be a battle. There's going to be men that die. There's going to be men. And they were very sober with them. They were very honest with them. Some of you are going to die. Some of you are going to get injured. But some of us are going to experience victory. And they would challenge those men and give them the rhetoric of we are fighting this battle and we have a cause. Well, I want to say this tonight. We have a cause. Somebody is going to overcome Laodicea. Somebody is going to live in this age and live in revival. Amen. We may have our skeptics and we may have our scoffers, but that just tells us that there is some real. For to be a bogus, there's got to be a real. Are you with me? For there to be a not, there's got to be some light. Are you with me tonight? And God sent a covenant to this age, to them that overcome. Now, I want you to just remember, let's just hear it. Let me just start here just for a moment. Let's hear it from a negative realm. Balaam was standing, he was hired to curse Israel. He was hired by politicians to walk out there and curse Israel. Go out there and curse them and go out there and stop them in their tracks. Go out there and blind them. And under that, Brother Branham said, even being a false prophet, he still had prophetic anointing on him. Amen. And he walked out there in Numbers chapter 23 in verse 19. And I can just imagine as those politician men that was standing behind him was waiting on the curse. Here he begins to proclaim these words. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said or shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received the commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. Notice these words. And I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld the iniquity in Jacob. Let me just say the children of Israel had a lot of things that was among them that was not perfect. If we could take the microscope over our humanity, there's a lot of things that's not perfect. But we're not here to emphasize the imperfections among us. We have been allotted a special grace that would help us to overcome this hour. I love the quote when Brother Ben says, God don't even look at your mistakes. Hallelujah. But Brother Ron, I'm so worried about my mistakes. You put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And you allow the blood of Jesus Christ to so saturate your life to the point till it takes the desire of sin completely out of your life. Sometimes I think we start a walk with God and we make some decisions and we make some choices, but we really don't die to sin. You've got to die to that thing. I'm still having trouble with this and trouble with that. Just die to that thing. Joshua was commanding them, go get your land. Brother Bram says, walk through that department store. He said, the promises is all yours. He said, it's like a great arcade. He said, get the ladders out. Look up on the top of the shelf. All of heaven belongs to you. Are you with me tonight? I want you to understand, Joshua had been with these people now, and he's 110 years old. He's walked with Moses all of this time, and he has seen some phenomenal things. All the way from the plagues to the rod being stretched out over the sea. He has seen God prepare a tabernacle in the wilderness. He's watched when the scoffers arose and the earth consumed them. He's watched all of this. Now they came to the border. He's watched people stop. And listen, there's a sin of going so far not wanting to go all the way. Are you with me now? There's a sin to where people don't want to go all the way and all commit it. Listen, there was a lot of people. Let me just put two stories together here. Noah, no doubt, had many people that enjoyed being around to hear the sermons. But you must remember that God spoke to Noah, not to his family. God spoke to Noah. And in that sermon, God gave him detailed information. He was not an engineer. He was not an astrophysicist. He was a farmer. And God gave him details. I am going to destroy the earth with water. The sins of the earth has come before me, and I'm going to destroy it and wipe the humanity off of the face of the earth. Listen, he's God. He can do anything he wants to do. You know, sometimes we as ministers walk to the pulpit with a very difficult message to preach. And some things are very difficult. We're human beings too. We have feelings too. Maybe as your pastor, sometimes he knows some of your situations. And God is directing him. He's directing him and using him to come right to your heart. And the enemy will tell you, he knows. He knows that anyway. Or who told him to deal with that? Why, that couldn't be God. That's my cousin Nathan dealing with me. And I knew Nathan before he was a preacher. And I knew him when he was a boy. And I knew all of his mistakes. And I knew him before he was married. And he dated this one. And he dated that one over there. And I watched him as a frolicking boy. I'm getting on your nerve right now. And now he thinks he's a pastor. Let me just say, he would be an idiot to want this job. You should put him in an insane institution to want the pastor's job. But you see, some of you are looking funny, some of you are smiling, some of you are going, oh, God, help me. But I want you to understand, a man can only be what God wants him to be. And I just want to say some things from my heart. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think this place was ordained of God. I wouldn't waste my time. You want to walk in the office for a minute? I want to talk about you for a few minutes. Are you with me? I wouldn't come to Death Valley, where the whole world watches from the outside and sees the struggle. But God has raised up a work here. In spite of all of the rumors, and you might already have to go, but I'm going to preach. In spite of all of the rumors and all of the mystique that goes on, God is determined, I'm going to have a people in this community that will overcome, that will be the lived voices
my mountain. And listen, folks, I want to say to you, listen, this has been on my heart for weeks to preach to you. I didn't have a question when I had to preach the last service. I feel like Caleb standing here, give me my mountain. I've been in this message for 50 years. Give me my mountain. Let me possess my mountain. I want to hold on to it. There's nothing going to stop me, Brother Bryant. Hallelujah. How difficult it is. I'm going to say some personal things, and you don't have to have me back. It's okay. But how difficult it is to watch your son. You've protected him as a little boy from getting scars. You protected him from falling. You protected him from outer influences. You protected him. You applied a token. You did all of those things. And now God calls him to be a pastor, even your pastor.
Yes. Come on.
I know what that's like. I share. I know that. But it's God that puts a man as a pastor. And as a pastor, he's the ox of the team. And he's to bear the burdens of the congregation. He's the man that's ordained to not take sides. He's the man that's ordained that in the midst of the battle, he'll be the last man in the world to give up on you. Now listen, if he's got 100 people, he's got 100 different ideas. But he's got to have a communication with him and God. It's him and God, and God's giving him unction. Because the church is not run by deacon boards and trustee boards and men that hold their ties over top of him and have ropes on it if you don't do it. God calls men. He calls men to be there with you in your troubled times and when your marriage difficulties and when your children are sick with a fever. He's called a man to step to your bed and lay hands on you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that man cannot do you any good unless you got confidence in him. Are you with me? But now I'm going to reverse this on you. But that man's also dependent on those people. Come on, church. I pastored too long now, so I'm going to preach to you. An evangelist can run in and run out. I played the part of an evangelist this week, and I did that for many, many years. But then I became a pastor almost 16 years ago. An evangelist can come in and he can tear everybody up and make everybody feel like they just got saved all over again. Everybody wants to love the guy and kiss the guy and hug the guy. And isn't that the greatest minister in the world? But he's getting in his car and leaving. He's getting in his car. He shared probably some of his best sermons. This is fresh. They're going to get it this weekend. But he's just, I'm a pastor. I can't re-preach sermons over and over and over again. So they're getting it this weekend. They know where to say amen Sunday night. But a pastor is standing there and he's watching people and he's developing them. And he is that director. He's the director watching over them. And he knows your difficulties that you've had. He knows the situations that you've went through. And he's helped you through some of your problems. And he's also a secret bearer. The word is a discerner. And while under the preaching of the word of God, a pastor's got discernment. And while he's preaching, those spirits begin to stick their heads up. And all of a sudden, you have that gift of knowledge. You just know certain things about certain people. Then you don't tell those things. Because now you take it to God and say, God help Brother Jim with that. God help Sister Susie. Your name is Jim or Susie. Just hang right with me just for a moment. Don't you guys tighten up on me tonight. What he's got to do. Now, here's what we must realize. We're being placed in the land.
We're literally being placed. Sometimes we think, well, it's a Wednesday night or it's a Sunday. What you don't realize is God is using that man in the fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry, each one's got their place. It's for the perfecting. Brother Branham called it the dress wear. And so he's literally dressing you and preparing you. Rapture is not accidental. Rapture is a process. God birthed you, and from that birth, you begin to develop character. And it's a day by day, and character is a victory. It's not a gift. And you become a daddy, and you become a mama, and you become a father, and you become a mother, and you become a prayer warrior. Are you with me now? It's not an evolution, but you overcome day by day. It's just not that a lightning bolt come down on the top of your head and struck you, and now you're a genuine believer. You've got some property that you've got to overcome. You've got to go get your land. You've got to work, and you got to pay your tithes. And you say, well, Brother Ron, it's not important to pay your tithes. Well, when you were in sin, you did. When you were in sin, you paid tithes. You paid it in cigarettes. You paid it in booze. You paid it in drugs. You paid it in race car and Colts fans tickets and Louisville Sluggers. And you paid it in everything. Are you with me now? Am I with you? You did all of that. And all God requires is 10%. That's what it requires. But I want to tell you, God takes your 10, your 9, and makes it go further than your 10. Are you with me? He's the best real estate agent, the best doctor. Are you with me now? He knows how to take. Listen, he's a creator. He knows how to take fish and feed 5,000. He knows how to take bread and feed 5,000. Don't ask me to explain it. I just ask you to believe it. God knows how to take your broken family when you come into church and you're just having trouble getting along. God changes your nature. He changes your spirit so he can get along with you. Then you come into church and you struggled and you made some decisions to come to church and you sat in the pew and, you know, maybe you started out, and I don't even know why I'm here, but here I am. You started out and maybe it was once a month you would come and it was very difficult for you. And then after a while it was twice a month. Now something's in your heart and you can't wait till those doors come open. And God begins to bless every facet of your life. There's benefits to being a part of this. There's benefits. Forget not his benefits. He heals your children. Then he begins to move in your life. Are you with me? God knows where a caribou is, and he knows where a silver-tipped grizzly bear is, and he knows where three squirrels are at. He knows where your address is. Even if you just moved yesterday, he knows what the doctor told you while you were on the operating table and you were completely asleep while the doctor had your kidneys in his hand. God knows all of that. He numbered your hairs before you ever came on the earth. He's an infinite God. He knows your troubles. He knows your mistakes. He knows your failures. He knows your weaknesses. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he challenges us, put on the whole armor of God. You're warriors, put on the whole armor of God. If I'd have lived in Paul's day, I would have been Paul's right-hand man. I'd have been said what Paul said, we believe it as thus saith the Lord. He may be in prison, but I want to tell you these letters that I've got for you is from the word of the Lord. He has taken it to the Gentile. And I want you to know these Gentiles, you're not dogs. But you're God's chosen people. This blood of Jesus Christ will redeem you and set you free. You don't have to serve heathen gods anymore. I would preach under that anointing. I'd have preached under the anointing of Irenaeus or all of those men. Under Martin Luther, I would have preached under that anointing that he was under. But God sent me to this day. Are you with me? Moses could only preach what God had him to preach.
And Joshua could only take the commission of the word of the Lord and said, let's cross over into this Canaan land. You must possess your land. Brother Ron, you seem excited. Well, I sure am. I want to think about the humanity of Joshua for just a minute. Joshua don't have wings on his back, halo over his head. He's a man. And Joshua, in the scriptures, you can hear him. He preaches two last sermons, they're called 23 and 24. When you're running out of time, you don't have any time to waste on petty things. I've been at bedsides of people dying. And I've been there myself. You're not worried about a bigger house. You're not worried about your IRA accounts. As a matter of fact, you're not even worrying about your silly feelings. I want to bring something else to you. It's a time at your death you make everything right.
That's right.
And I'm talking about everything. Brother Branham tells a story about a woman that had grieved her soul away. Yes. But her soul came back to haunt her. Some of the people that have walked away from the message, and I'm not prejudging, they've grieved something away from them. But you know, sometimes you just know. Now I want to get real serious just for a moment. Noah knew as he preached. He didn't get a timetable from God to tell him how long that he was going to preach. But he knew after the construction of the ark was done. And now animals are coming in, orchestrated by God. And all of the things are coming together. It's out of his control. And I want you to hang with me just for a little bit. If you've ever heard a sermon, I want you to hear this. There is a time when it's out of your control. Noah has laid the foundation for 120 years, and people have made fun of him for years now. There's no rain up there. We've sent Sputniks up. There's no rain. We've drilled in the ground. There's no rain. He's a farmer. He's not a weatherman. And they made all of their fuss about it. He's building us a zoo. He's building a what kind of a boat? Let's build a better boat. Let's build a yacht. And you could just hear their voices. And even some would stand around just in case. Just in case. And listen, the conditions were horrible to cause God to destroy the whole world. We're there. I want to say, we're there. You don't need conspiracy theories to tell you we're there. You don't need a date. You've heard a prophet.
Amen.
And that prophet has told you these are the signs that are laying out. And the signs are here.
Glory.
The homosexuality, it's here. Sin is here. Hollywood is here. The worst fashion in the world is here. Nudity's here. Politics is rotten. Your education system is rotten. But that's what the prophet said it would be. And they laughed at him and they made fun of him and they mocked him. I told a young man here a while back, and he was just giving me a hard time about Brother Branham. I said, you know what you can't have? But what you really need is about 5 minutes in front of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on. And all of your chatter, all of your nonsense in that presence, I just wonder what you'd do with it. You can get on there and blog, and you can get on there and make fun behind of a keyboard. Nothing but a bunch of cowards. People that didn't have a birth, that couldn't live right. And I don't care if it's your family. Be honest with yourself. Let's just be honest with ourselves. It's people that never got the new birth. They never got the Holy Ghost in their life. And they've got a grievance against humanity. Men will fail you. Listen, men will fail you. Men will make mistakes. Even Brother Branham will misquote. I don't mean to shock you now, but even Brother Branham will make varied mistakes. So will he. And here's a news bulletin for you. So will you. Won't you just turn to your neighbor right now so we can ease the air just a minute. So will you. If you just looked over at your mother and all and said, so will you, with a great big smile. There's room at the cross for you. There's a deacon at the door that will help you. I don't know where that came from, but here we are. Young people, let me just speak to the young people just a minute. Go back and listen to the last sermons of Brother Branham. If you don't have time, some of you are too young to have time to go back and listen to some of those, especially late 65. Listen to the passion in his voice. He didn't have time to politic even when he was out of town. Mostly he saved some of those doctrinal issues to get back to Jeffersonville here to preach it. But he had to deliver Invisible Union of the Bride. He didn't have another meeting to come back and do. He had to preach it there. And he delivers the word. And those people hated it. They took an incredibly horrible attitude toward it. Wanted to take him out of the pulpit. The scripture says that they would come to a time that they wouldn't endure sound doctrine. Noah knew that he had a conversation with God. I want to talk to you about this just a moment. Noah didn't have to have his children with him to know that he had a conversation with God. He knew. He knew. He didn't have to back it up. Wasn't you there with me? No, he knew. He knew. Mary, when she was standing in a passageway, no doubt there was a lot of people that was moving by. They were moving by on the same day going to get water. But she met a man. And that man would be somewhere around 6 foot tall, olive complexion. And he would have a certain look to him. And he would call her by name. And he would begin to tell her that she's going to have a child. There wasn't 100 people to agree with the story. People want to argue about a bridge, and they want to argue about the different kind of things. What about Mary? All of Christianity rests on a girl, her testimony. Can you imagine the rumor mill in that day? I'm going somewhere with this in just a few minutes, and hang on to your false teeth if you've got four. Because the same devil that was in Noah's face and in Joshua's face and was in Mary's face and was in Brother Branham's face is also going to be in your face. Did you really meet him? Are you really sure that this message is right? And you're going to be the final voice to stand there and say, I am the bride of Jesus Christ. And this is a supernatural work that is going on in Jeffersonville. Are you with me now? And I am going to be the life in Louisville and New Albany and Jeffersonville. We're going to be a family that is going to apply the token. We're going to overcome. As for me and my house, we will overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know there's going to be a missing of people. And should you miss me from my job, if I'm gone 2 or 3 weeks, just count me gone. If I don't call in sick, are you with me? I walked into my boss many years ago and I said, I'm a man of my word. I need to give you a notice. I'm preaching about a rapture. And when this happens, I'm not going to have opportunity to tell you. He should have read a lot of things in that. I wasn't expecting him to make it. I don't care what they do with my house. I described my house last night. I've got a beautiful dog. I got a really nice horse. It's old. It'll probably be eternal. Listen, all of my animals live for absolutely forever. It's like a lifetime contract when an old shaggy dog shows up at my house and 18 years later they're still living. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Noah, no doubt as he watched the animals as they were coming. Brother Bill, I would say as he begins to watch certain things happen, now it seems like a new gear that has kicked in on the inside of him. Listen, he's had stragglers to come into his church and, you know, help maybe work, do a little work and then fall away. And others come and do a little work and fall away. And some believe for a little while and maybe fall away. And, you know, but now he realizes, I've only got a few more sermons left. There's going to become a point that this door is going to shut. And there's not a thing in the world that I can do about it. Are you with me? There's going to be a point that this message is going to reach its climax. And the visions are going to take place. And everything is just going to be just right. And God's going to say, that's my masterpiece. That's the end. Are you with me? Brother Bram said everything that's left is left to happen could happen in an hour. I know we've got a lot of configurations of things that's got to go on. And here he's saying everything that could happen in an hour. Russia's taken her position. Last week she just put online 40 more nuclear warheads in Europe. Surface-to-air missiles. She's just put online the highest tech war department in the whole world. Did Obama tell us? No. They're whistling through a graveyard. They're whistling through a graveyard. Your denominational systems are taking up money and they're doing all different kinds of things and they've got all kinds of programs going on and people are living anywhere they want to live and they preach, don't judge me. Let me live like I want to live. And they introduce crusades with rock and roll concerts because there's no real word to draw the people. Are you with me? Come on, church. Come on. I don't want to settle for a denominational idea and become a mixer of the message of the hour. This word will stand on its feet. And I would like to be like Paul, and I'd like to be like those men with him. I was an eyewitness of these things that God is doing. I have just told you in the last couple of days of supernatural events that have happened in our own churches and in our own lives to let you know that He's more than a historical God. God didn't die in 65. He's the same God that's in your family and in your home and in your life and in this congregation and has raised up your pastor to stand here to echo to you. The rapture is imminent. We need to be urgent. Brother Bram would preach this day as the scripture fulfilled. Modern events made clear by prophecy. And he would take us through those things that are to be. It is I, be not afraid. The mighty God unveiled before us. And he would take us through those sermons and he would come down to communion. Are you with me now? Every one of those sermons was just laid in the right order, saying just the right things at the right time, at the right hour, and just dropping supernatural things in that the denominational people can look at it and not see nothing. But the bride can see she's an eagle. This is the word. And they eat that word and it begins to build in their life. I want to say this to you. We don't come to feed on the mind of a man. We're not trying to outdo one another as ministers. We're not looking for another great preacher. This great Holy Ghost that is among us has come to prepare you for the rapture. Hallelujah. I had a friend of mine. A friend of mine that is a pillar of our church. His name was Steve. Now, you probably never met him. Chances are very, very, very slim that you would have met him. He was a pillar. I don't know if he missed a service through the years other than maybe being sick a time or two. Steve was a real Christian. Talk about the book of Hebrews and this and that and this one and that one. I want to bring it up to date. Someone lived in our church. Steve developed a condition called ALS. ALS is an ugly disease. Steve had had some troubles in his life. He had been mashed when he was at work. By huge weights of boxes falling on top of him, and God spared his life. He had been burned by a brush fire. Evidently, guys in our area have brush fires. And he had been wrapped from head to toe, and God provided for him. He'd been hit by a train, and the train made a tin can out of his SUV. And he walked out of that SUV with his Bible in his hand and without a scratch. He walked up to his house, which is just a few hundred yards up from the railroad track, and Mary, Sister Mary, said, "Well, where's the vehicle?" And he said, "Train hit me." She said, "Absolutely impossible. You don't have a scratch on you." "Yep, train hit me." He went back down and the engineer was there and he said, "You're not the man that got hit." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Nobody should survive what you just went through." Listen, we had great difficulty getting his personal items out of that vehicle. They checked him. But Steve came down with a debilitating disease, and this began to deteriorate his body. He wound up in a wheelchair, not being able to feed himself and not be able to even lay down because he would smother. Brother Andrew and myself went to his house, and I just felt led of the Lord. I told Andrew, I said, "Andrew, it's time to have a conversation with Steve." It's a conversation that the pastor has a hard time dealing with. I knew that today's the last time I'm going to have a conversation with him. Listen, that's a difficult thing after years and years of victories and rejoicing and watching him shout in the spirit and listening to him sing there is an unclouded day. Some of those things are very difficult. Steve was a real believer. And you hear the people from our congregation saying, yes, sir. Because they watched his life. And no doubt there's some of you here that are real believers. And others, if I would call your name, would say, yes, sir, that's exactly right. Because that's what this message has produced. Some real believers. Amen. He's produced rapture character. People to which that Satan can't even put a finger on their life. God has so cleaned them up. He's so washed away their sins. Until even the devil can't find fault in them. Boo, devil. Boo, devil. Oh, hallelujah. You can see your faults and failures, but God has so cleaned you up. He has so justified you. It's as though you never did it in the first place. And Steve had come to that point. So we sat down and we talked, and we were there about an hour. And we talked old times. And I said, Brother Steve, you know where we're at now. I've been your buddy, I've been your friend, and I'm your pastor all these years, but I need to have this conversation with you. Brother Steve, coming through the door in the next few hours, is going to be somebody that you've been looking for all your life. And there's going to be some with them. And you're going to start fellowshipping with them now. Brother Steve, you know this by now. You don't need to be scared. There is a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. Sunday night, they came home from church, and what would you like to do? He says he was not able to go, and what would you like to do? He said, I'd like to listen to Brother Ron preach again. So he listened to a sermon and watched a video, and they said he just so enjoyed it, and he says, until I go, let me hear Brother Branham's voice. Amen. And they played 5 sermons, and they would pray. And as it comes morning, Sister Mary says, I believe I need to go take a shower. And she turns around to Steve. She says, now, Steve, it's okay if you go ahead and go while I'm gone. We're settled with you. We'll see you in a few days. While she's in the shower and the others are sitting in the room, the Lord Jesus comes to take him home. Let me just say, it broke our hearts in a lot of ways. But we had an assurance. We had an assurance that Steve was going to be delivered. That ALS was not going to hold him bondage no more. And he stepped into a body that Brother Branham describes in Future Home. And who is this Melchizedek? A body to which ALS and cancer and tuberculosis and arthritis cannot touch. And that disease is defeated the moment that life leaves out of that body. Oh, we ought to have a shout right here. Satan, you are a loser. He can only fight while he can fight right now. And he's doing the best that he can. But we were not sent here to be tormented by the devil. Our presence torments him. Amen. Who shall overcome? We shall overcome. Amen. My father-in-law, I hope you have time for the story, but my father-in-law, we videoed him. He was in a nursing, he was in a rehab center. We put his shirt on and his tie on him and combed his hair. And he went about 8 minutes of preaching as hard as he could go about there is a land beyond the river. And he prayed that God would make himself known supernaturally in that congregation to that group of people. There was probably somewhere between 250 and 300 people that were sitting there. And many friends had gathered in, many unbelievers that had came that was part of his extended family. They were there. While Brother Andrew opened the service, there's a special presence that came into the building. People begin to witness all over that building that amber light And that light, as it began to move up on the stage, said, God, don't do that no more. He's here tonight.
Amen.
And as that began to go on, several of them began to make witness of that. This one would become, tell me, and this one, did you see it, Brother Ron? Did you see it? I saw it. I saw it for the first time in my life. I saw the angel of the Lord. I saw the Ark of the Covenant. I saw the Lord Jesus in that pillar of fire. I saw what Brother Ram is talking about. There was flowers sitting all across because Steve was a great loved man, and it was stretched all the way across the front of the building. And we have a building probably as wide as this or a little wider. And of course, flowers come that some of them are budded and some of them not budded. Some of them are real tight. And as that presence came in the building, those flowers begin to open up. It was God-given witness.
Amen.
This is my son.
Amen.
You see, about 20 years ago, I'd had a vision of Steve, my brother-in-law, and a couple of brothers from Brother Donnie Reagan's. And we were all young again, the same age, and some of us are 20 years difference in our age, but we were all the same age walking down the road, and Steve was meeting us. The last words that Brother Steve sitting in his wheelchair was sitting there looking. He said, Brother Ron, 20 years ago you told me. You told me that vision of how we'd be over there. And if you remember, I was on the road and I was waiting on you guys.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People could say all that they want to about this message. Are you with me? And maybe you struggle to come to church and struggle to find your place. But I want you to know this word is real.
Amen.
This word is real. Brother Ron, I've never seen a miracle. I've never witnessed a miracle. Well, let me just tell you one. When I was burned, I had 75 degree burns in my lungs. I should not have lived. And I struggled for about a year with these lungs. Sister Connie can tell you that I struggled walking up steps and struggled preaching. I'd cough when I preached, and I have to take my time, and it actually caused me to even develop a different style of preaching. But there's no quit in me. There ain't no quit in me. Brother Biscoe said it, I'd be the speaker next year. And so I preached in that meeting. And Sister Katie got a supernatural touch. And Brother Andrew got the new birth in that meeting. Brother Tom Ray's son got a new birth in that meeting. And many other things happened. And I stepped out from behind the pulpit. And there was a sister sitting about right where you are, sister. And she was praying for her brother, Raymond, who wasn't even in the building. And she just simply said, God, don't forget Raymond. And about that time, I stepped out from behind the pulpit. Listen, there's a congregation of 1,200 people sitting there. And I just pointed straight at her and I said, God won't forget Raymond. Hallelujah. God won't forget Raymond. And if he won't forget Raymond, he won't forget you. The next week, I went to North Carolina, and Brother Biscoe was going to be the speaker at the mission camp. And I was sitting in the balcony because I was just literally, I have to just tell you, I was literally wore out, kind of like I feel right now. But I was literally wore out sitting up in that balcony. And I was sitting up there with my wife and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, and we were sitting on an aisle, and Brother Biscoe began to talk about bringing to order our lives and how God brought the earth to order and how God brings sin under order and then how he clears the deed in your life. And then he came to that last part about how a bruised cell will become cancer, and something hit me. Tonight is my night. Tonight is my night. I don't have to wait to the prayer line. I'm going to stand to my feet right now, and I'm going to claim my healing. And I stood to my feet, and I raised my hands, and it felt like a pressure tank come down over top of me and blowed my lungs out. I don't care whether you believe that or not. But I'll tell you, from that moment till this hour, I haven't had one lung infection. Are you with me? And I have preached with everything that I have in me. I don't reserve energy for next week. I give you everything that I've got. Because a minister gives a piece of his life to a congregation. Now I want to be very personal with you. I believe that God ordained me to be here three nights. Amen. To encourage you. Get in line. Come to inspire you and to strengthen you and tell you, run with everything that is within you. Possess your land. Overcome. Quit looking left and right. Now, Brother Ron, there's people that live on my land. They're squatters. Can you give me just a few more minutes? Amen. This is going to make the devil real mad. This is going to be the devil. This part, he can probably amen to this part. Because he knows that I give it everything that I've got. He knows that. But when God justifies you, it's as though you never did it. So every time the devil whispers in your ear, remember when? And he keeps taking you back and keeps beating you down. And remember, you said this about that and you said this. I want you to remember and tell him, you with your lips, you may seem crazy at the red light, but go ahead and do it. Devil, I want you to know God forgave me on a certain day. And I laid it at the cross. I laid it at the cross, and it is finished. That thing is over with. Squatter, get off of my land. It is taken care of. I'm not in your chains anymore. I don't have to serve under your slavery no more. Oh, Brother Ron. I've made vows to never go back on those pornographic sites. But every time I get close, I find myself in it again and then I repent. Every time I get close to a cigarette my wife don't know, or, you know, every time I get close to that weakness in my life. But then I repent, Brother Ron. Somewhere or another you're going to overcome that thing. And when you learn that you got to hate that devil, when you learn he's not your friend, he is your enemy. And he has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And there becomes a passion in your life that I'm going to overcome. If the rapture happens today, I'm ready to go. God has provided for me a sacrifice. There's somebody that's going to be a family that loves the Lord, that raises up children, that don't have to compromise with the world. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, somebody's going to live this message. And I'm going to be that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need an example. Shamgar. Every year, they would come and take his corn and his wheat and leave him just enough to get by. He gives you just enough money to get you by and keep you in slave mentality. Just enough to get you through the winter. Just enough victory to get you to church maybe a couple weeks from now. Just enough to let you sit on the back row and feel pity party for yourself. But his great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy sat with Melchizedek. And he told him, he was the king, he was God, and a theophany body said, thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemy. God didn't allot a chapter or an entire book to Shamgar. He gave him just one scripture. Today he realized who he was. 600 trained Philistines was headed in his direction, and they were going to take everything he had except for just a little bit. And Brother Branham said he looked over at his wife, and she was about to starve to death, and her clothes was falling off of him, and the children had nothing but rags for clothes, and he remembered who he was. Come on, church. And he remembered who he was. Somewhere or another, you've got to get passionate about this word. Satan is not your friend. He is your enemy. And you got to remember who you are. Because if the devil could get you, he would have the whole world. But you are the final voice to the final age. Hallelujah. You are bone of his bone, life of his life. You are God's vision sitting in Jeffersonville tonight. Ooh, hallelujah. If you feel like I feel, trouble for the devil.
Amen.
He can sing that song, I Got Trouble. He didn't whip 600 devils at one time. He whipped one at a time. Now there's something about confidence. Whipping one will give you confidence for two. And whipping two will give you confidence for three. And whipping four will give you confidence for four. Are you with me? Once one cross-eyed baby was healed, then another one was healed. And after a while, you didn't even have to pray. Are you with me now? Are you with me now? You know he couldn't do anything until he showed up. Are you with me? Listen, we got every confidence in the world that he never missed. I don't care what the world said. I also got confidence that I met the same God. And that same God is in this building tonight. And that same God is saying, devil, you better get out of here. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Amen.
You can have this building here. We are going to see the King. You can pay the rent on this building because we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't like that church over there. Oh, no problem there because we are going to see the King. I don't like old Nathan as a pastor. No problem there. He is going to see the King. I don't know what you're going to do without us. But we are going to see the King. Now you know why there's no CDs by Ron Spencer. There's no hair in front of Sister Connie's ears. She just goes. Soon and very soon. God has nobody hands but your hands. Are you with me? And I'm finished. I'm finished. Because it's your fight. It's your fight. I want to tell you, Brother Branham did his best.
Amen.
And thank God for the tapes. Thank God for the visions. But the baton has been handed into your hand. Brother Nathan, you're probably the last pastor to this church. Somewhere or another, you've got to realize you're the final group. I'm going to tell you a very familiar story since I've already quit. There was a girl that worked taking care of dishes and breakfast and taking care of the linens and the beds, but it really wasn't her place. And there was a guy came that was standing with his foot on the rail, and he was in search of a wife.
That's right.
And she was barefooted. And he told her one of the most Hollywood stories that you could hear
Everybody else thought, she's a silly little girl. There's no way he would talk to her. But he did.
Amen.
And he sealed the evening with a kiss on the cheek. She knew that she got the kiss. She knew she got the kiss. She didn't have to prove it to nobody else. She knew. She heard the conversation. She heard the conversation. About this time next year, I'm coming back for you. She began to testify, and everybody made fun. But on the final day of her expecting him to show up, she cooked her eggs last time. Can you imagine the feeling last time? Let's just go ahead and have some fun with this for a minute.
Go ahead.
She flipped them eggs last time. I imagine she did a little Pentecostal jubilee. Let the grease pop. She washed those dishes last time. She hung the towel last time. She took that apron off of her dress last time. Are you with me? Are you getting it now? The last time. She hung it up on the nail. The last time. She went in and she put a dress on that she'd been trying on and getting exactly right. For the first time. Oh yeah, I like this part. And when she stepped out the door, they saw her for the first time. And today her hair shined. And there was something about her countenance. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Today is the day. And she strolled through the kitchen last time. I'm not sweeping these floors no longer. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not sweeping these floors no longer. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. She walked to the door. And she turned the knob last time. She stepped out on the porch. And there's where she met her scoffers. Are you ready to preach with me now?
Amen.
And her scoffers were going, you a silly little girl. He's not coming for you. He really didn't kiss you. He didn't make a promise. And you're just a silly little girl. Don't you remember the bridge? And don't you remember Los Angeles? And don't you remember the car? He got all that information. And nobody can live like that. Oh, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. That wasn't made by no rocket. That's a picture of my Lord up there looking down at me. Hallelujah. That's what he looks like. Turn it to the right. You can see him. That's his head looking down on his body. She stood there. And she could hear their chitter chatter. Their blogs. She could see it on their Instagrams. Now here comes finality, and I want to do it in a few ways. And I'm done, and I promise you, I'm not a liar. When the raindrops started coming, and the water's about your knees, and it's never rained before.
Oh my.
Your haunted soul . Everything that you put in front of God doesn't matter right now. In a few hours, That sky-rise building is going to be gone. Your pretty yard is going to be gone. Your pretty car is going to be gone. Everything that you know is going to be washed away. And that man may have been a nut, but he was telling the truth. Hoofbeats were the showdown. And as that wagon came across the hill, you could hear it. For her, it was rapture morning. How many times you've heard this story? You could almost quote it for me. Little children could almost quote it for me. But this is more than a story that Moody told. The prophet of God took it and made it live. But you're the people that's going to fulfill the vision. The scoffers are going to be the ones that know. I saw a people go. Brother Branham said the rapture is the showdown. I listen to Brother Branham in Souls now in prison. He feels like it's his last sermon. He has saw the dimension of hell. If he could walk through Walmart or down the street of Louisville today, can you imagine what his sermon would be tonight? The things that you almost every day see, can you imagine how he would feel? We're way beyond 1965. But we are the people that's living that's going to overcome it. I may never preach to you again. I don't know. But I want to tell you, we're going to make it.
Amen.
Moms and dads, we're going to make it. Stay in that word. Live in that word. Keep your children in that atmosphere. Don't let nothing get between you and God. Don't let a dollar bill. Let a rumor. Don't let nothing get among you.
Amen.
Listen, I'm delivering my heart right now. Don't let a weakness in your life destroy you.
Amen.
You destroy it. I want you to think on these things that I've just delivered to you. There's some things that we can kind of just brush away. Say, well, that was a really nice service. And wasn't it a nice time? We certainly appreciate Brother Nathan inviting Brother Ron. And Brother Ron came and Brother Ron delivered a few sermons. But I felt led of God to bring this sermon to you. Because God has raised you up for a specific purpose. And he's got a plan. Somebody, listen, I thank God for the other churches in this area. But God has raised this altar up for people to come and to worship the Lord and let this message live. Let it be us. Let it be us. Michelangelo one day stood and looked at Moses. He'd been working on him 44 years. But one day he saw the reflection of his vision. God has been working on you. And he sees something. Folks at home, I hope you enjoy this. Don't you love the Lord?
Amen.
Now not only Joshua had a burden. Your pastor's got a burden. Now I want to parlay that to you. I want you to have a burden. I want you to have a burden. This is more than a catch a vision. And that phrase can be used in every realm. You've got to catch the vision for your life. You've got to carry the burden for your life and for your family and for your church and for your altar. No day is a vacation day to walk away and say, well, it's not important today. Every day, every hour, every moment. take every excuse and every blame and every fault of failure and just throw it away and say, I'm going to serve God with everything in me. Amen. I can only preach you like that because that's the way that I live. Amen. My boys can tell you, my wife can tell you, this is the way I live. And I'll just share my burden with you. Every morning between 6 and 9, it could be that morning. Amen. We could leave before we go out of here tonight. Be ready.
Amen.
Could you just bow your heads before the Lord just now? You're a wonderful group of people, and I've so enjoyed preaching to you. Just pray, Lord. Lord, I just want to be ready. I just want to be ready. Maybe you've just allowed things to kind of become common in your life or just been going through the motions of it. Maybe you've just been coming and sitting on the pew and looking around and not really coming in. You're just spectating, just waiting on something to happen. Maybe you're counting on somebody else to get it, but now it's your turn. God's dealt with you. The last three services, He's dealt with you. Could you say, Brother Ron, would you just pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over the building. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, minister to our hearts. Let's just pray just a moment. Lord Jesus, it was John that laid his head over on your bosom and said, is it I? He wanted to make sure. This is not a time of who is greatest in the kingdom of. It's not that kind of a time. Lord, do you see this message living in me? Lord, may the character, may it be so hidden, Ron Spencer be so hidden, until Jesus Christ would live in our bodies. Be more than an anointing that would leave and go and a feeling that would come, but you would live in our lives. Father, I ask you, Father, this evening, I've so enjoyed these meetings and how you've done, how you've dealt. What a wonderful congregation. And I'm standing and urging them, press on. Press the mark of the high calling. Forget those things in the past. Look forward. Oh God, there's work to be done. There's urgency that should be in our voice, in our heart. Forgive us of our mistakes and our failures and our blame game and our spectating and Lord, let us put our shoulders to the wheel 100%. Whether it's the pastor, the deacons, the trustees, whether whoever it is, Father, here, the little children, I just ask you that they would feel the anointing of God. If a sinner would walk in this building, even if it's on a Wednesday afternoon, may there be such an atmosphere here until it would change their life. Oh, may the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost just brood in this congregation, Lord. And even when the lights are off, dear God, may the Holy Spirit just be resident in this place. And Lord, not only that, but may it be in our cars, and may it be on our home, and may it be in our job. May it just live in our lives. Whether we witness with our mouth or whether we witness with our life, let it be you, Father. May there be a passion in our voice. May it be a passion in our life. Not putting it on, but letting it live. Let us die out to everything that would distract our attention, Father. Lord, this isn't just for this congregation, but it's for our group that's going home. Lord, I thank them for making this journey 8, 9 hours to come and sit in this meeting. Take their vacation days and come and sit here. But may this revitalize their life as well. Oh, God, come and minister to it. It isn't just for one. It's for all of us tonight, Father. Lord, you speak to our lives, and we just thank you for this time.
Oh, God, anoint Brother Nathan as he steps to this pulpit and Brother Bill as he steps to this pulpit. Lord, may it be a passion in their voice. May it be a vision in their heart. May the Word of God go forth in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost and people's lives be transformed by the power of God. Oh, Lord, touch us, Lord, this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't you love Him?
Amen.
Don't you just love Him with all your hearts? Could we just stand to our feet? And... Amen. Amen. I may ask you just to do something a little bit different tonight, but I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor and just, I want you to just solemnly ask them, will you pray for me? I'm going to be praying for you like never before. We're a family of believers of Jesus Christ. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Amen. Brother Nathan.
We were having some technical difficulties with the video camera, so I didn't catch Brother Ron's title tonight, but if he doesn't mind, I'm just going to title it, The Night Ron Spencer Kicked the Devil in the Teeth. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. You know, last Sunday, Brother Layton was relaying to Brother Ron some of the things I was doing up here, and I told my wife after service, I said, I got a little animated this morning. She said, yeah. I said, I was watching one sister, and I don't think she liked it very much. And I said, well, I've got to be who I am. And I said, you know, where she might not have liked it, other people might say, we'll never forget that service. But after watching Brother Ron tonight, I don't feel like I was very animated Sunday morning. Not very animated at all. And I told him to take his liberty, and I'm glad. I've never seen him preach with so much freedom. I've heard him preach many times, but I'm glad he could feel that type of freedom to preach. And he told me before he came out of the office tonight, he said, I'm going to give you my best tonight. And he did. I believe he gave us all his best. And amen. We're in perilous times, and it's not time to play around, not time to play church, but it's going home time. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord a little bit tonight. I know it's a little later than normal, but it didn't feel very long to me. It felt like the Lord was just moving. And I know many of you, Brother Joel and Sister Christy, they drove about, how many hours, Brother Joel, did you drive? 10 or 12 hours so they could get back home. And they got about 4 hours sleep to be able to do that. So they came expecting. Brother Luke asked off work so he could come tonight. He came expecting. So I felt sorry for you a little bit Wednesday and Thursday because you had to work the next day, but I don't feel sorry for you tonight. Let's just worship the Lord a little bit if you don't mind. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be this way tonight. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. You really feel that way? Jesus, I surrender all. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart. Let's sing that again. I surrender all. Jesus. If you really want Him to be Lord of all, let's just raise our hands. Jesus be the Lord of all. Everything, Father. Jesus be the Lord of all. Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all. Are you really willing to surrender everything? Your desires, your ideas, everything about you? Oh, Jesus, I surrender all my pride. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. One more time together. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Yes, Father. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. Let's just bow our heads again as they play that softly. Dear Jesus, what a privileged people we are to know Your Word, Lord. Lord, we just thank You for sending us Your servant by our way, and Lord, his family, his friends, his congregation to come and be with us. Lord, they've thanked us so many times, and Lord, as I keep telling them, they've been such a blessing to us. We just want to do what we can to be a blessing to them. Lord, we thank You for arranging this, Father, and for putting a burden on each person's heart that attended these services. Lord, I believe You've been speaking to hearts, and that's what it's all about. It's not about personalities or preachers or deacons or a building. It's not about great singers, although we appreciate all those things. But Lord, it's about You coming down and speaking to hearts. You moving in a supernatural way among Your people that we could feel Your presence in a tangible way, so that we could draw closer to You, so that lives could be changed, so that the sick could be healed, and so that the weary could be encouraged, Father. Lord, I believe You're encouraging Your people tonight just to help us to go a little further, Lord, and run the race a little longer. Lord, we thank You for what we've heard this weekend. We thank You for the burden You put on our brother's heart, Lord. Thank You for each gift that's been used and each person that's participated in this service. Everybody may not have sang a special, and everybody may not have been able to preach or play an instrument, but Father, every little lick of fire that came and pulled with the minister in the service and that had a need that they came and that they worshiped with us, Father, I thank You for each one. I just ask You to protect us as we go this evening. Father, be with each family. Satan is gone about like a roaring lion, as You told Peter. He's desired to sift us as wheat. But Lord, just like You prayed for Peter, You prayed for us. You said, just make us one, Father. Help us to lay aside every difference and every little petty thing and every little petty idea, Father. Help this bride of Jesus Christ to just link arm in arm around the world, Father, for this great thing that we stand for, Lord. And as I said last night, it's not just the words of a man, but it's the unfailing words, the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. That You can come and speak through mortal lips, Father, just like You did on the Sea of Galilee. That You can borrow a body, Father, that You can speak to us through. Not only that, sending us a prophet, Father, but not only that, that You can still come and speak through individuals. Your prophet said You have no lips but our lips and no hands but our hands, and that You could lead a minister to speak specific things to individuals, and that You could lead individuals to feel led just to pick up the phone and call somebody and encourage them, Father, that You're still working among Your people, Father. How we thank You for it tonight. We love You, Jesus. We thank You for this sweet presence that we feel. Thank You for each one here tonight. We love You, Jesus. We thank You for all that You do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. what a blessed people that we are. You may not know some of the things. I don't know all of the things, but as a pastor, I know many, many things that God laid on our brother's heart, that he was walking down the aisles and dealing with individuals and individual situations that most people don't even know about. And speaking to hearts, and the first night I thought he said something here tonight, I thought that person's going to think I told him that, but I didn't tell him. I told him, Brother Trevor, last night, I said, you can't make this stuff up, some of the stuff that he's been saying that I haven't been sharing things with him, telling people's names and addresses and all these different things, and like they claim people did for Brother Branham. I haven't been sharing him all the dirty little secrets and things like that, but the Holy Spirit can lead and guide a man. And I know many at the church here, they tease, you know, sometimes I'll preach something and they'll say, Brother Nathan's got his spyware out again. Because they'll say conversations they had and different things just go right down the lines. Sister Tina said, no, it's not spyware, it's skyware. So we thank God for that. Men can't produce that, but Almighty God can. Almighty God can do the leading, and we appreciate that. We appreciate what the Lord's done in these services. And we're not popular sometimes, but we're not in a popularity contest anyhow, Brother Ron, are we? And I'll just tell you, this scares people, but I'll just tell you anyhow, I'm the type of guy that get in a conversation with somebody and they start talking about Brother Joseph. I say, wait a minute. You stop right there. That's my friend that you're talking about. And then they go over and they start talking about Brother Donnie Reagan or Brother Tim Pruitt, Brother Biscoe. I say, hey, you wait a minute. Stop right there. Those are my friends. And they get very confused. They can't understand it. But that's the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Ram said, elect doesn't persecute elect. And God is dealing with this bride. He's restoring fellowship. He's doing mighty things. And I don't claim to be a great part in it, but I'm thankful to be a little part in it. I'm thankful that Brother Ron, Brother Layton, these brothers, these ministers, different ones that have come by, that we can be a little part in it, that this church and these other local churches and all of us as the bride of Jesus Christ, if we can just get to the end of the road and say, I was a little part in it, I'll be able to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a little part. Amen. As we say, I had a brother come here a while back, and he was trying to be humble, and I believe he was sincere. He said, I'm just the skin on the bottom of thy feet. I said, well, you still got one foot on the devil then. You got your foot on the devil. So it don't matter. I don't care if I'm the little toe or the little finger or whatever it is. I'm still part of the body. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Oh, we say thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Oh, I can't repay from my heart. I would like to say that I thank you. Oh, we say thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that oh Lord, I thank you. Let's sing it again. Oh, we say thank you, my sweet Jesus, Lord, for all the grace that you have given us. And though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you. Your bride says thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that I... If he's done something in your life, let's just take a little time to thank him tonight. Oh, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for all the grace, all the mercy, all the kindness you've given. Oh, though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that oh, Lord, I thank you. Let's sing it again. We say thank you, my Jesus.
though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I... You may not have heard it before, but you should know it by now. Let's just all sing it with all our hearts. We say thank you, oh my Jesus, my Lord, for all the grace you have given us. Though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I, oh Lord, I thank you. Oh, we say thanks, Jesus, Lord, for all the grace. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, yes, and thanks, thanks. Just say thanks for all, Lord, for all you've done. Oh, Lord, I am so blessed, and my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, we want to say thanks, oh, thanks, Lord, I give you thanks, Lord, for all that you've done. Oh Lord, I am so blessed. Now my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Let the church say thanks. Oh thanks, Lord, I want to give you thanks for all that you've done and all that you're going to do, Lord. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest, oh Lord. What about what he's done for you in this meeting? Let's just sing it like this. The church says thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all. Lord, all you've done for us this week, Lord. We know we are so blessed, and our soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, if you got a handkerchief or a songbook, let's just give him a wave offering tonight. Oh, we say thanks. Oh, thanks. Lord, I give you thanks. Lord, for all you, all that you're going to do, Lord. I am so blessed. Now my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord. Everybody say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every healing. Thank you for every miracle. Thank you for every testimony. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. What about for your children? We want to say thanks for your loved ones. For those ones you applied the token for, Lord, for all you, all that you've done, Lord, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest, oh Lord. What about when he healed you when the doctor said he couldn't? We say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all. Checking account said one thing, but God provided something else. Oh, we want to say thanks. Oh, thanks. Lord, I want to give you thanks. You're a mighty God. Lord, we give you thanks for all you've done. Oh, Lord, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. What about when your friends and your family gave up on you, but he found you and he saved you and filled you with the Holy Ghost? We say thanks. Oh, thanks. Oh, I give you thanks, Lord, for all that you've done. Oh, yes, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest, oh, Lord.
one more time just to make the devil mad? Oh, we say thanks, blue devil, blue devil, I give you thanks, Lord, for all. Satan may have lied, but you brought me out anyway. Oh, now I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, I hope you feel like I do tonight. Oh, church, we ought to say thanks. Oh, thanks, Lord, I give you thanks, Lord, for all. Thank you, Jesus, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know we did it before, but just turn around and shake somebody's hand tonight and tell them, I'm glad you made it to church tonight. How many's glad Brother Ron made it?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Satan tries to hinder. Weather called for storms all week, and it'd rain a while and stop a while, and rain a while and stop a while, and everything that could come up seemed like to prevent and hinder and cause stress and everything, but every demon out of hell can't stop the move of God. That's not just for this church. That's not just for Nathan Bryant or Ron Spencer, but that's for you. If God's doing a work in your life, all the demons out of hell can't stop the work of God. We love you tonight. And as the bride of Jesus Christ, I don't care what label you fall under, who your pastor is, what your pet doctrine is. If you claim to believe this message and you're serving God, it's getting time, friends, to where if you can find somebody that says, I believe God sent a prophet, you say, oh, that's a brother. A few years ago, we didn't feel like, well, he's thunder, he's Perugia, he's return, he's fivefold, he's onefold, he's threefold. All these different things. Brother Bram talked about oneness, two-ness, three-ness, one hump camel, two hump camel, all these different things. We were all divided. But, you know, God has a way of allowing persecution to come to bring the bride together. He said in 1964 there, he said, the Indians lost this country because they wouldn't band together. It was this tribe and that tribe and this chief and that chief. He said, that's how we're going to lose this race if we're not careful. And he said, but God will send the squeeze, the persecution, to drive her together. He said, how's it going to happen? He said, it'd take a paradox to do it. He said, but God promised he'd do it. It might take websites. It may take fanatics. It may take all kinds of things. God had to raise up a Pharaoh one time and kill little babies and all kinds of things. You thought, that's terrible. But he was trying to get his people back in their homeland. He rose up a Hitler one time, and people think, that's terrible. Brother Bram looked at it and said it was the gentle hand of Jehovah getting his people back in the homeland. We look around, we see all these things going on, we think, oh, dear God, how can this be? And I know there's many that, you know, they get excited about things outside of the message, and so-and-so said this, and the news said that, and they said this. Hey, let me tell you, there's nothing outside of this message that can produce what you saw tonight. I'll say it again for the critics or for the devil or whoever needs to hear it. There's nothing outside of this message that can produce the things that God is doing, not just in this little building, but around the globe. God is still vindicating his message. Things that Brother Ron has told us about, you say, well, I don't know. I know Brother Ron. I've known him for many times, many, many years, since I was a much younger, thinner man. I believe him. I have no reason to doubt him. Why? I've seen God do things in his ministry. I've seen God do these things. I've known people that have been with him and seen the things. God's still Hebrews 13 and 8. God doesn't do that to lift up a ministry or personality. He does it to vindicate that he's still Hebrews 13 and 8. And the prophet may not be with us, but the pillar of fire is still in the camp. And in the days of Israel, when the pillar of fire moved, they would pack up. It didn't matter if it was 2 in the morning or 10 p.m. at night. They'd pack up and they'd follow the pillar of fire. And when the pillar of fire stopped, they stopped. The problem is we've got an idea or a doctrine or a feeling or this and that, and we move here and there and do this and do that. But just follow the pillar of fire. He won't lead you wrong. And he won't lead you back to the world. And he won't lead you back to the denomination. But he'll lead you forward. Amen. God bless you tonight. If you need prayer, call somebody. Don't get desperate. If you make this your home church, call me. If you've got another pastor, call him. If you don't have a pastor, get one. Brother Branham said that every Christian ought to have a home church. You say, oh, I can just stay at home and be just as good a Christian. Brother Branham said, you cannot. That's what the prophet said. That's not what Brother Nathan said. So we believe in God called men. Not to be an authority and a rule over somebody to say, hey, you got to do this and you got to do this, but to bring the word and present it to the people and to keep the prophet before the people and to point back just like Joshua and say, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said. Moses was gone and dead, but he kept saying, remember the words of Moses. Remember the words of Moses. I believe it's 57 times he says it in the book of Joshua. Moses, Moses, Moses. Moses had been dead. Why are you quoting Moses all the time? Because he was a real man of God. A real man of God is not ashamed of these pictures. He's not ashamed of the quotes. He's not ashamed of Malachi 4, Revelations 10:7, Luke 17:30, Matthew 10:17. He's not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or of his messenger, William Branham. If you don't like that, you came to the wrong church tonight. Let's sing as we go. We want to say thanks, oh thanks. Lord, I give you thanks. God bless you, dismiss. All that you've done, Lord. Oh, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Let the bride say thanks.